You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
I just thought I wanted to do one more message on our weapons as Christians at war before the end of the year. And I thought that seeing as it's Christmas time, the name of Jesus would be a good one to do. And people use the name of Jesus for many things. Unfortunately, people use it as a swear word. How often do we, you know, go to a footy game or a sporting match and we hear Jesus' name not in a way that it's supposed to be used, or we you know, see people stub their toe or hurt themselves and we hear his name being used not the way that it should be. So it's used as a swear word. It's used to pray. Most of us finish our prayers with the words, "In Jesus' name, amen." And that's how I pray. And that's a good thing. And those words, "In Jesus' name," is not a magic formula for us getting our prayers answered. But praying in Jesus' name is praying for the things that are in agreement with God's will. And it's good to pray for things that are in agreement with God's will. And of course, Jesus' name should be used as a weapon, along with all of the weapons that we've talked about this year. And so I'm just going to start by reading a passage in Ephesians. And I really am sorry, but I didn't get a chance to put the scriptures on the screen. And there's a bit of scripture that I'm reading this morning. So just listen or get your phones out to look them up or read along in your Bible. And so it's Ephesians 1, verse 18. It says, "I pray that you will have a greater understanding in your heart, so you will know the hope to which he has called us, and that you will know how rich and glorious the blessings God has promised his holy people." And that's us. We are his holy people. Verse 19, "And you will know, we will know that God's power is very great for us who believe. That power is the same as the great strength God used to raise Christ from the dead and put him at his right side in the heavenly world. God has put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers and kings, not only in this world but also in the next. God put everything under his power and made him the head over everything for the church, which is Christ's body. The church is filled with Christ and Christ fills everything in every way." And that's a pretty powerful passage when you think about it. And basically, Paul is telling us here that we have access to the same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead, and that Jesus has been made head. He has been placed over all things, over all powers, over all authorities, over all rulers, all kings. He's been placed over everything. And as believers, and that's really important, that as believers, we have that authority, that same authority in his name. And then Philippians goes on in chapter 2, verse 5 to say this: "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore," so because he was made humble, because he was obedient and went to the cross, "because of that, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, I don't know about you, but the picture that I've always had in my mind is that it's God that is almighty and all-powerful. It was God that created the heavens and the earth. It was God that breathed creation into existence. It was God that caused the flood, and he was fire and he was a cloud. And that's the picture that I've had of God. And Jesus, in my mind, on the other hand, was exactly as how Philippians describes him: humble, made himself nothing. He was a servant. He was born in a manger, in a stable. He rode in on a donkey. He washed the feet of his disciples. He was gentle and kind and loving and lowly and meek. And he is all those things. That is true. And yet, as well as being humble, as well as being kind and gentle, the Bible says that he has been exalted to the highest place. The highest place, that he sits at God's right hand. And he's given the name that is above every name. And just think about that for a minute. Every person, no matter how rich or famous or powerful or influential they might be, his name is above their name. Every sickness, every disease, his name is above that name. Every circumstance in life, every situation we find ourselves in, his name is above that name. And that is just so amazing. It is his name that every knee should bow. And the word Lord, the word Lord in Greek means master or owner. And Jesus is the master and owner of all. And in Luke chapter 10, Jesus, he sends out the 72 and he keeps talking. And then the 72, they come back. And they come back, the Bible says, with joy and with wonder. And they say to Jesus, they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And I can just picture these 72 running up to Jesus with just excitement and saying, oh my gosh, Jesus, it worked. Your name worked. We cast these demons out and they came out and oh my gosh, it's really true. And it's almost like the 72 were a bit surprised and shocked at the authority and the power that they had in his name. Like all of a sudden they realized, well, he's been telling us this, but wow, Jesus' name really is above all names. It really does work. And Jesus' response to the 72 when they told him this, in verse 19 of Luke chapter 10, I think it is, Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy and nothing will harm you. And so they've said, Jesus, it works. And he says, well, of course it works. I've given you that authority to use in my name. And, you know, I think about the picture that I've had of Jesus as that gentle, meek, servant man. And, you know, we get pictures of Jesus in life, you know, at Christmas time, we get the picture of him as a little baby in a manger. We get the picture of him as a man on a cross. But we all need to remember that the Bible says that right now he is in heaven, exalted into the highest place. He sits at God's right hand right now, exalted to the highest position. And his name is the only one that can stand against darkness of any kind. His name conquers all things. And that is an amazing truth. And, you know, sometimes when I don't know what to pray or I feel lost for words or, you know, I feel a bit under attack or I feel a bit down, sometimes I just say the name of Jesus just over and over again. It sounds really simple and it sounds really easy, and it is. But just saying the name of Jesus brings such peace into my life at that time. And I just wanted to read a few verses that give examples of Jesus' name being used. And the first one is in Acts in chapter 3. And Peter is in the streets and a crippled man comes up to him and he asks Peter for some money. And Peter says in verse 6, then Peter said to him, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And I love that Peter said, what I have I give you. He didn't have anything tangible or actually, you know, physical on him. He didn't have money, but he said, what I have I give you. And what he had is the same thing that we have, and that is the name of Jesus. And it was by Jesus' name that man, that crippled man, was healed. And then in Acts 4, verse 12, and again Peter is talking, and he says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. On who else's name can we call upon to receive salvation and everlasting life and freedom and forgiveness? No one else's name. You know, when we do baptisms, when people are baptized, they are baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is just an amazing thing. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. It is by Jesus' name that we have been made holy and that we are cleansed and that we've been made right with God. And then in Acts 16, and this is right before Paul and Silas go to prison. They're in the streets and they're preaching, and there's a slave girl that has a spirit by which she can tell the future. And she's going around annoying Paul and Silas, and she's yelling things and she's shouting at them. And it says in verse 18, "Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the Spirit left her." And it would have been the same with the 72 in Luke. Who else's name can drive out demons? You know, we can try a whole lot of different names, but no other name will work, because it's only by Jesus' name that demons are driven out. And so I look at those examples and we can see pretty clearly that Jesus' name holds great blessing and great authority and great power for us as believers. But there's something that we've got to realize. For Jesus' name to be effective for us as a weapon, whether it's for healing or driving out spirits or for whatever purpose we may have, we must have relationship with him. And I'm just going to explain by reading a little story in Acts verse 19. Acts 19 verse 13. "Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to evoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, 'In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out.' Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know.'" So this is the evil spirit. "He says to them, 'Jesus I know, and I know also about Paul, but who are you?' Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped out at them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding." And it goes on to say that after that little incident happened, that the name of Jesus was held in high honor among the people. And at this time, at this point of time, it was quite common for people, particularly Jewish people, to go around and to try and cast out spirits out of people. I don't know whether they were bored or they had nothing else to do, but that was just what people did. They went around and they tried to cast spirits out. And obviously, they had seen Paul use Jesus' name to do exactly that. And this is Acts 19, so just a few chapters after we read about Paul casting a spirit out of the slave girl. And so these seven sons have seen Paul doing this and they've just decided, all right, well, let's do the same as what Paul did. Let's just copy him. And I found a commentary by Matthew Henry that just explains really simply about this passage. And I'll just read it. He says that if we resist the devil by faith in Christ, he will flee from us. And that's good news. If we resist the devil by faith in Christ, he will flee. That's good news. But if we think to resist him by the using of Christ's name or his works as a spell or charm, Satan will prevail against us. And that's exactly what happened to these seven sons. Bible says they were beaten. You see, we've got to have faith in the name of Jesus. And faith is believing that what Jesus has done is enough, and that comes about by having a relationship with him. I read before a scripture about Peter healing a crippled man, and he said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you, and in the name of Jesus walk." And so when that miracle happened, that was in a street, and a lot of people saw, and a lot of people knew that crippled man from ages ago. They knew him. He was always a cripple and they knew about him. And so when Peter prayed for him in Jesus' name and he all of a sudden could walk, everyone was like amazed. And the Bible says that everyone was astonished. And so Peter, he goes on to explain how that was able to happen. And in Acts 3:16, he says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can see." We need Jesus' name and we need faith. We need faith in the name of Jesus. It is essential if we're going to have the name of Jesus as a weapon. And obviously these seven sons of Sceva were not true followers of Jesus. And because they were not true followers, they didn't have real relationship with him. And because there was no relationship, they lacked the power and authority to do anything in his name. Satan hates the name of Jesus. He hates it because every time we use it, Satan's reminded that he's a loser. You know, it's like, you know, if you remember back to your primary school days and you had a bully or an enemy, and you know, you think back now and you, I don't know whether you can remember their name, but for me it was a guy called Adrian, and I don't like that name anymore. I hate the name Adrian. I don't know if there's anyone in here called that name. I actually don't think there is. But, and I'm sure you're nice, but that name just brings back memories of what that person did. And it's like that with Satan. When he hears the name of Jesus, it just reminds him of who put him in his place, of who defeated him. And so that is why Jesus' name is such a powerful, and it's such a simple weapon that we have, but we've got to have relationship with him for that weapon to be effective. So it's a great weapon. But I wanted to talk about another aspect of Jesus' name that I think we need to be aware of. And that is that as believers, the Bible says that we are co-heirs with Christ. We're co-heirs. We're equal with him. And because of that, we represent the name of Jesus in our lives. For those that remember my name before I was married, I was a Falzon. F-A-L-Z-O-N. Not hard. It's not complicated. No hyphens, no spaces, no little thingies, you know, at the top. And so you'd think it would be easy, you know, easy to pronounce. But it wasn't. And I hated my last name as a kid. Hated it because it was so unusual. And no one likes to be unusual. And people just said it wrong all the time. They said Falzon. Fel, as you know, F-E-L, and Falzone with an E on the end, like Calzone, and Chris still calls me that now. And so right from when I was a little girl up until like my early 20s even, I dreamed and imagined of marrying a man that would give me a name like Smith or Jones or William, something Australian, something normal, something that was easy to say and people couldn't get it wrong. And that wasn't the case, obviously. And I got the name DeVincentis, which is probably worse in terms of spelling and pronunciation and being foreign than Falzon. And now when people ask me my name, I don't even say it. I just start spelling it. D-E space capital V. What space? Big B, small V. And, you know, it's quite an ordeal. And I remember when Aaron and I first started going out and I was telling my nonno, my Italian grandfather, about him. And he said to me, first thing he said was, is he Italian? You know, my mum's not Italian, but it's really important that all the grandkids marry Italian people. And I said, well, yes, his father is. And he says, what's his name? And I said, it's DeVincentis. And he says, I don't know any DeVincentises in the whole of Italy. And I said, well, you haven't been there for a while. Maybe, you know, maybe you don't know every name. He says, I know them all, and there is no one called DeVincentis in Italy. And he says, write it down for me. So I wrote it down and he laughed at me. He said, that's not DeVincentis, that's DeVincentes. I know them, they are okay. And so I got his blessing and he's now very happy with Aaron. But I've come to realise over the years that the name DeVincentis is actually quite a well-known, famous kind of name, not just in Italy but in this area, particularly in Lilydale. A few months ago, I went to the doctor and I had to see someone I don't normally see because it was a last-minute appointment. Anyway, I'm waiting and the doctor comes out and he calls my name. He probably said it wrong. And, you know, I've never met him before and he's never met me before. And anyway, we're walking to his room and before we even get to his room, he turns around and he says to me, DeVincentis, you're related to that doctor in Lilydale. And he said their name. And I said, oh, I don't know. I said, maybe. I said, I don't know that person, but it's, you know, it's my husband's name and I know that there are DeVincentis scattered all over Lilydale, so possibly, maybe, I don't know. And he laughed and he said, I know exactly how you feel. My name is Imran Khan and everyone thinks I'm related to Imran Khan, but I'm not. And I'm just thinking, just give me some antibiotics and let me get out of here. But the doctor knew the name DeVincentis. Now, I don't know whether it was a connection or not, but he knew of the name. Anyway, then I went into Bunnings. And I was ordering my flat pack laundry, and I was at the special services desk in the middle. You know, I'm filling out the paperwork or whatever. And, you know, my name comes up, and she looks at me and she says, Stephen Sennis, I know that name. You're related to Jacob and John. It's funny how people just assume that you are. They don't even ask. And anyway, and I said, yes, I am. They're my brothers-in-law. So she knew the name and she knew the family that went with that name. Anyway, then like 2 seconds later, another Bunnings lady comes up who obviously had been eavesdropping, and she said to me, Stephen Sennis, yes, you're the lady that goes to that church in Mount Evelyn. I said, hi. I said, no, I actually go to the church just over the road. She says, no. You work up at the church in Mount Evelyn doing stuff with the youth. And I said, no, I go to the church across the road in Life Ministry Centre doing youth. And she goes, oh. And so, you know, the doctor knows the name, and the first Bunnings lady knows the name and the family, and the second Bunnings lady knows the name and the family and the fact that I'm a Christian who goes to church with doing youth stuff, even though she got the suburb wrong, she got everything else right. And it amazed me that all these people were complete strangers. I'd never met any of them, but they knew all this stuff about me because of my name. And now whenever I go into Bunnings, I think, man, everyone knows everything about me. I've really got to watch myself. But Stephen Sennis represents more than just a long, hard-to-spell Italian name. It tells of my identity. It tells of who I belong to, who I am, and what I represent. And I've become quite proud of that name, despite my initial fears, you know, and disappointment. I've grown to love it because of who I belong to. And as Christians, the name that we bear, the name of Jesus, tells others a lot about who we belong to, about who we are, and what we represent in our lives. We live on a subdivided block, and so there's a family that lives in a house right behind us, and our driveways are next to each other, and we sort of share driveways sometimes. And they have only been there like 6 months, and we don't know them very well and haven't had as much to do with them as our other neighbours. Anyway, Christmas is a great time for sharing love and joy, and so I went over there just, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday last week with some chocolates and a card, an Amari Christmas card, sharing the message of that. And anyway, I knocked on the door, and, you know, I gave her the chocolates and stuff, and we were chatting, and the other reason I wanted to go over there was to tell her about the lights. And I said to her, you've got to come to our church. There's a great Christmas light and sound show, and I think the kids would love it. She's got two little girls. And she looked at me, she says, so you do go to church? And I went, yes, we do. And she goes, I thought so. I saw that 89.9 Light FM sticker on your recycling bin. And I'm a little bit shocked, thinking, oh, because we do have an 89.9 Light FM sticker on our recycling bin, but we didn't put it there. And if I had an 89.9 Light FM sticker, I could think of much better places than to put it on a dirty, grotty, smelly recycling bin. That's like an insult, really. And be careful about what stickers you put on your bins, because your neighbours are looking at them. And anyway, I didn't say this to her. I just sort of thought all that and went, I said, yep, we're Christians and we go to church. And that's what I said to her, like that. I said it like that. I don't think I did the fist pump. And I thought, oh, and I felt like a bit like an idiot afterwards, and got a little bit awkward, and there wasn't a lot more to say after that. And so I went home and I thought, oh, why did I say we're Christians? We go to church. Now she knows. She knows about the sticker. She knows that we go to church. And now she knows that we're Christians, because we could have just been people that are atheists that go to church, or just any people that go to church. But now she knows that we're Christians, because I told her. I thought, Aaron and I are really going to have to watch how much we yell and keep it down a bit. She knows. And as dorky as I may have sounded, and a bit awkward as it was, I'm glad I told her. Because we, Aaron and I, as Christians, we represent Christ in our lives. And when we became followers, when all of us became followers of Jesus, we took upon ourselves the name of Jesus, because we entered into a new family. Just like when I became a Felzon, I entered into a new family called Stephen Sennis. When we became followers of Jesus, we entered into a new family. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, it says this, both the one who makes people holy, that's Jesus, he makes us holy, and those who are made holy, that's us. So Jesus and us are of the same family. It says that in Hebrews. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus. We have the same family name as Jesus. What an amazing honor and privilege that we have been adopted into God's family. That's who we belong to. That's our family, and that just is amazing. And because of that, because we've been adopted into his family, because we now have the same family name, as Christians, we represent Jesus to our family, to our friends, to our neighbours, to the people that we meet on the street, to the people at the shops and the ladies in the supermarket. We represent the name of Jesus. We represent him with our actions, with our words, with our attitude, with how much we might yell. We represent him with the way that we live and conduct our lives. And that is a fair bit of responsibility when you think about it. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says this: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let the message of Jesus dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And this is the challenge that Colossians sets us. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Whatever you do, wherever you do it, whoever you're with, do it all in the name of Jesus because you represent him. I represent him. Have you ever done something that you have been a bit ashamed of? Like you've been really impatient in the supermarket line and really, you know, just been tapping, or you've tailgated someone and then they turn into church and you turn in behind them, or you do something that you're not proud of. I did that to Ken Barrett one day, but he knows me and he loves me. And you do these things and you pray and you hope that the people that heard you and saw you know, they don't know that you're a Christian. Lord, help them not to know that I'm a Christian and I represent you because of what I just did. And it would be convenient if we had a little on-off switch that we could use around people that would light up and say Christian when we were being nice and behaving and taking chocolates to our neighbours and bringing their bins in and just being a real angel. And that we could switch off when we were being impatient and yelling too much and just being, you know, not nice. But it doesn't work like that, does it? And I'm not saying that because we're Christians and because we represent the name of Jesus that we've got to be perfect. No, because my neighbours have heard me yell. I know they have because our walls are thin. And that's okay because I'm a real person and I don't mind that. So we're not after perfection. But we do need to honour the name that died for us. We do need to glorify the name that has set us free, that has forgiven us, that has given us salvation and eternal life. We do need to be an ambassador for Christ. And as proud as I am of my Deven Centre's name, I am prouder still to bear the name of Christ, to be a Christian, to bear the name of Jesus in my life. And we should protect the name that is above all names. You know, I went to Super Pet Warehouse in Chernside and they put my details into the computer and they told me, I found out there's another Nicole Deven Centis. And guess where she lives? Lilydale. And then I'm at Flight Centre booking a holiday and they, you know, look me up in the system. They said, oh, here you are. You're Nicole Deven Centis and you live in Lilydale. And I said, no, I live in Croydon North. She goes, there's another person out there with your same name. I said, I know. And she's going to all the same places that I go to, the pet shop and the travel agent. And anyway, I thought, well, who is this person? What is she doing with my name? What is she like? what, you know, she's dragging my name through the mud. I have a reputation to uphold. You know, what is she doing? And I started to get a little bit protective over my name, the name that I bear. And we've got to be protective over the name of Jesus, because there are plenty of people out there that are dragging it through the mud and doing things in Jesus' name that are not in line with God's will. And there's nothing we can do about that. But what we can do is that we can uplift and honour and exalt and represent the name of Jesus in our own lives by how we live, by how we conduct ourselves, by our words, by our action, whether in word or deed. Colossians says, do it all in the name of Jesus. And so just as I finish up, you know, I hope that you realise that Jesus' name is a weapon, you know, that he has been exalted to that highest place, and that we have, you know, we have that same authority in his name because of him. You know, Jesus said, I give you authority. And I don't know if there are people in here this morning, you've got a situation that has a name, and I encourage you, lift up the name of Jesus above that right now, because his name is above it. Whatever it is, his name is above it. His name conquers all. His name stands against everything. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And, you know, this is the name that we're celebrating at this time. And so the challenge for me, for all of us, is that we represent the name that is above all names. And we're not going to always be perfect, and we're going to make mistakes, but that our neighbours and the people around us can see the name of Jesus as a banner over our lives, and that we take his name out into the world and people know that we belong to him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you love us enough that we can be adopted into your family. And Lord, it doesn't matter who we are or what we've done or the kind of families that we have right now. We belong to you. As believers, we belong to you and we are in your family. And I thank you so much that we have your name in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to use your name as that great weapon. Lord, that we would realize that when we have faith in who you are, that your name can be a powerful weapon for our lives, for whatever we may come up against. And Lord, right now, we do just exalt your name over this place and over the lives of every person that is sitting here. And just as they're thinking about their own lives right now, we lift up, we exalt, we honour, we glorify, we praise your name. We acknowledge that your name is the name that is above all names. And Father, I pray that that would not just be something that we've heard this morning, but it would be something that we receive into our hearts, that we have revelation of, and that we use in our lives, the name above all names. And Lord, I just thank you that you have entrusted us to be your ambassadors, to be people that carry your name out into the world. And I pray that we would protect that honour and privilege that we have, that we would lift up your name in the circles that we mix in the people that we see. And Lord, it would be your name that sets people free. It would be your name that we see salvations come. And so, Lord, we thank you so much that we have your name in our lives. And we do just say we love you. We just pray a real blessing upon this place, upon the people in here right now, and over the next few days as we celebrate your amazing Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.